The Brad Cessnat Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome on in. Jam-packed show, as always, as we do every week, right here on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Brad Cessnat. 33 years of doing this here in the Valley, whether it be on radio or television and here online for the last 15, we join you week in and week out. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I hope your summer has been great. I was on a steam engine up in Silverton, Colorado, traveled around the country a bit, and now it is time. No offense, I love the World Cup, but it's just time to start getting into football season. We were at Big 12 Football Media Days earlier this month, and now it's the point where the Cardinals open training camp later on this week, so we will be getting into some thoughts on that right around the corner. Also, John Wilner is going to return back at it after he's been on vacation for the last 6 weeks. And John and I are going to chop it up all around ASU, U of A, and things on the college football front as that season gets underway shortly. And then on the high school platform, it's Cody Cameron and Claudia Collins, the recruiting roundup. We bring it to you each and every week. Do want to start, though, with your Cardinals. So the Cardinals open training camp this week. And the expectations for the Cardinals this year are very, very low. Those of you that are season ticket holders, I'm sure you're excited about the upcoming season. I myself have intrigued because we have another year of a new head coach, something that I see quite often. The turnstile goes around about every 3 years. About every 3 years, the Cardinals decide it's the coach's problem here. And so we will see if this coach can get it figured out. We are coming into this training camp with, once again, a quarterback situation. What do you know? Jacoby Brissett wasn't happy with his contract. And so we're left to see if they're going to go with Gardner Minshew or if they're going to go with their draft pick. It's just like every year, it's the same stuff. The last 3 years, you're going to be like, well, what about Kyler Murray, Brad? The last 3 years, many people watching this show right now did not want Kyler Murray as the quarterback. They had seen enough. Okay, if the names are not Carson Palmer or Kurt Warner or Jake Plummer through the years that I've been here, usually it's, man, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be. And guess what? This year is once again one of those years. And it leaves open the question about whether or not this is an organization that this year is looking at, I don't know, being in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. Is that the direction that they're going to go? So these are the questions around training camp that I wish would just be settled every year rather than having to be unsettled. There's entirely too much unsettling around this organization year after year after year. You can't dispute it. Just go back and ask the number of quarterbacks, number of coaches, front office executives, off the field stuff that's gone on around this team. So we'll see. I would just like to have a nice calm. We're ready for the year. We're Seattle. We're the Rams. We're the 49ers. So there you go. I will say this, though, that Larry Fitzgerald going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame here in a couple of weeks has actually given us something exciting and interesting to talk about. Is Fitz going to go down as one of the all-time greats? Yes. Should he have a statue put out in front of this stadium? I don't know. I don't think he'd be into that kind of thing, but maybe, just maybe. The best wide receiver that I've ever seen? Yeah, by far, that I've covered. But, you know, there's been some other good ones, too, alongside of him, like, in particular, Anquan Boldin. Just not as flashy, not as spectacular. But Fitz has gone about his business. All right, so I'm excited for that. On the other side, John Wilner. As promised, John Wilner back with us. It's been a minute since John and I have been together.
Yes. We both have
gotten away, and we sit right back down. We get right back at it. I've got Big 12 Football Media Days to go through with you. I've got Noah Fafita as a Heisman Trophy candidate by the U of A. Will their AD even be the AD by the time the Michigan job is complete? Who's got more pressure on them this year? Is it Brennan or Dillingham? All of that, but I think, John, we need to start with what's going on at SEC Football Media Days because Greg Sankey, Was he negotiating? Was he just lobbing it out there that maybe the SEC should just part ways with the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC and do their own thing?
Yeah, well, SEC Media Days, 4 days of this media extravaganza in Tampa began this morning with Greg Sankey doing his State of the Conference address bright and early, 6 a.m. Pacific. And he hit on, you know, all the big topics in college sports, including whether the SEC, the conversations are real that the SEC may break away. Now, what exactly does a breakaway mean is up for discussion, but it certainly, part of it includes creating its own governing model, its own rules, its own enforcement, which I'm sure a lot of people laugh at, the SEC enforcing itself, you know, over self-oversight. Competition, would it only play SEC teams? We don't know any of the details, but he did acknowledge that, yes, the conversations are real behind the scenes among presidents because there's so much frustration over the NCAA's inability to, you know, create and enforce rules. Now, does that mean it's going to happen? I would be almost shocked, very surprised, almost shocked if the SEC broke away because there are so many problems with that. But it is certainly an issue that everybody and everybody needs to follow, and every conference is impacted by what the SEC does. I mean, that's the state of college football right now. You know, Greg Sankey sneezes, and the Big 12's got to say gesundheit.
But look, you're the guy that had USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12. Oh, that could never happen. That guy, he's out on a branch. It's going to break. No, you're all over it. And since then, all we've had is complete and total chaos in college football. So if the SEC, let's just play this out. Let's just say they go and they decide to do their own things. They could be the CFL. They could put in hydration breaks if they wanted to, John. They could go do all sorts of, they could put the goalposts back, or they could move them up, or they could play on a 110-yard field, I suppose. They could get to this extreme because here's the 800-pound elephant in the room from my view. They're already part of Disney. Their TV deal is with Disney. It's not with CBS. It's not with Fox. And when you're with Disney, you have unlimited resources, I do believe. Shareholders may say differently. So could they just turn the whole model upside down?
They could. The issue would be, legally, would they get sued? Would the Big 12, ACC, group of six, would
lawyers
they sue
would be involved? Yes.
Lawyers would be involved, right. So that's the biggest question is, if they tried to do that, would there be a lawsuit? Because if the SEC does it, the Big Ten's going to do it. That's the key, right? They are going to move separately, but probably distinctly. Because if they create breakaway and create a new entity themselves, 34 teams, they will get sued in a heartbeat over, you know, antitrust, right? Collusion, market dominance, all that kind of thing.
Right.
Even if they don't work together and schedule each other, they would probably get sued. So that's the biggest impediment. And then you do wonder, if the SEC, let's say, broke away and they only played SEC games, well, sure, that'd be good competition, but a lot of the country wouldn't care. So, you know, what's the media value if the SEC teams only play SEC teams and they declare, you know, an SEC champion as the national champion? You know, there's a lot of, from an audience standpoint, a fan standpoint, I don't know how well that would work. And I'm not sure that Disney would be in favor of that and ESPN, because they want to have intersectional competition, especially with the Big Ten. Those are the two. Those two conferences need to be in the same, on the same competitive landscape in order for there to be value to the media partners and to fans across the country. And I don't really know how it would work legally if they tried to join together.
John Wilner with us for a few minutes as we talk about the state of college football. Now that John and I have been away on our breaks, we are back and we are getting after it. All right, let's get through the list here. Noah Fafita, the U of A puts out Heisman Trophy candidacy. Total long shot. Makes sense. Doesn't make sense. They're dreaming. Dreaming is free. Where are you at on this, John?
Oh, I think that Arizona should milk this sucker for everything it's got. I mean, do I think Fifita has a, you know, should he be a top tier candidate? I don't think so. Does he have a realistic path to get to New York City? I don't think so, but it's not improbable. But they should absolutely be blasting him from coast to coast and conference to conference, every media outlet in the country. Because when has Arizona had this opportunity? They haven't. And the branding piece matters immensely. It will help attract attention from potential transfers, potential recruits. It's right. Great for fans. It's great for Arizona's TV ratings. There is no downside if you're Arizona to blasting Noah Fifita as a Heisman candidate from the rooftops. I mean, top of the Empire State Building.
I think, too, it's one of those stories that I myself am cheering for. We're not supposed to root in our business, but I like the idea of a guy who's starting and finishing and just doing his whole thing at one place.
Well,
it's a novelty.
It is. And there are, and I don't remember the exact number, but I think you can count on one hand the number of quarterbacks who are senior quarterbacks who started as a freshman, you know, playing as a freshman at the same school and right. haven't left. Right. So he is a throwback in that regard. There is no doubt that is part of his appeal. Absolutely. To me, though, you know, it's not just Fifita, it's Arizona. They're like this, right? They're like this, and ASU's like this. They're never good at the same time. Last year, Arizona was good. ASU struggled a little bit. Can they both be good? Can Arizona have back-to-back quality seasons? They haven't done that in forever. They were good in 2023, then they were terrible, and then they were good. And Fifita, same thing. We need to see the 2025 and 2023 Fifita, not the 2024 Fifita. I don't know if he can do it. That's one of my major questions. Can he do it? Can Arizona do it?
Seth Dagey being a big part of that there.
For sure.
On with him and in his earpiece. Over to ASU, U of A into the coming season. We're sitting here at the end of July. And more pressure, say a year ago, we all thought Brennan was probably not going to make it. Like the seat was very warm. I don't think either seat is very warm, but who has more pressure on them this coming season? Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, or is it Brent Brennan at U of A?
I would think it's Brennan, but it's just a matter of degrees. You know, he's got the contract. He's got his staff in place. It is hard to envision a scenario in which there is serious job pressure on Brennan come November, but he does need to show, I think, Arizona fans that they can do it consistently. You know, Dillingham there seems to be a decent core interest in ASU football, right? I don't know that Arizona's got that. And I'm talking ticket sales, viewership, all those kind of things.
Sure.
Arizona needs to have back-to-back good seasons. You know, if you're talking about how hot are their seats, I would say Brennan is something like Vladivostok and Dillingham would be Pluto, right? I mean, there is zero chance that, you know, short of some off the field transgression, there's zero chance of Dillingham being in trouble, right? ASU has put every single chip it's got in his basket, which was a smart move, by the way. Arizona is all committed to Brennan.
Yeah, I would say that I don't think either seat is hot.
No, they're not.
But I am saying that, look, I get emails. You probably get the same ones. Red and blue scrimmage coming up September 29th. Get your seats now
right,
for U of A basketball. Last chance sale. It's middle of July. There's nothing coming to me about U of A's season opener on the football field. Like even internally there, John, they're just pushing basketball, basketball, basketball. That's what it is. I get it. I'd say in Dillingham's case, this is a good problem to have for Kenny because when he came here, it was scandal ridden. Very few people cared. He's gone about his business, I think, the right way. I don't mind him saying I need more money because every coach is saying it or thinking it, but they're just not saying it.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there are some expectations now in the Valley of the Sun and actually Sun Devil, I hate using the term Sun Devil Nation. Everybody's got a nation. Hawaii has a nation. Cal has a nation. Everybody's got a nation, okay? But I would say that the fan base, there is this, okay, we're putting the money in. This is not a very astute fan base. They can get mad at me all they want. They're not used to winning and how hard it is to win over long extended periods of time. There still is the, if we don't beat U of A, it's a bad season. Well, I don't know. If you go 1-12, that's a bad season. So let's just get that out of the way. I just don't think this is a very mature fan base when it comes to how hard it is to win. Going from Texas A&M to London to play a game, that's not easy right out of the gate.
It is absolutely not. They have a very challenging early season. There's no doubt that Dillingham is going to face the same pressure that every coach is.
Sure.
Which is return on investment. You are so dependent upon your constituents to fund your roster with NIL and indirectly with revenue sharing, that you've got to show you're using their money wisely. You've got to show that, you know, that $4 million investment in the quarterback or $2 million in your receiver is the smart move and is going to pay off in victories. So yeah, in that regard, he is under pressure. In the framing of like, could Dillingham or Brennan be in jeopardy of losing their job come December 1st? The answer is no on either end, right? For sure. But yeah, you got to show, because the thing is, if you don't show a good return on investment, then the money starts to dry up a little. We saw that, you know, the best example is probably Mike Gundy, the former Oklahoma State coach who took Oklahoma State to, you know, heights that it had not experienced before. And yet, the first few years of NIL, he wasn't into it and their roster suffered and the fans, the donors got to the point where we're not going to give. We're going to freeze him out. We're not going to give him our money. He's not going to win. And that's going to lead to a coaching change. And we'll bring in somebody who will buy into NIL. And so that's what the risk that every coach runs these days is, you've got to show your donors that you are using their investment smartly. It's like a company, you know, with shareholders.
John Wilner with us. Before I get you out of here, a couple other things. So the Michigan Athletic Department is, do we really care about, I don't know, going about business the right way? Or of course we do, because we just win. And everything else that happens off the field, who cares? Their AD is going to leave at the end of the year. Why not today or tomorrow? That's up to them. I'm wondering, from an Arizona, because I've seen some links there that U of A in Michigan, she could go there. And where Graham Rossini is on this end of things, because Arizona State's not an easy job to be the athletic director of. And he's done a nice job here so far, quietly behind the scenes. John, do you think either AD is ready to move on to a job like Michigan?
Boy, I don't see Rossini, you know, at this point, whether it's Michigan or Wisconsin just had an opening, I don't know that I see him leaving. He's got so many roots with ASU and with the Phoenix, you know, area, that it's much harder to see him moving on. Desiree Reed-Francois, you know, her name is being linked to a lot of jobs now. And the bottom line is, you know, the basketball situation with Tommy Lloyd in the spring and the president getting involved and basically Lloyd now reporting directly to the president, you know, you could read that as, okay, it's probably time for her to move on. She's done an incredible job with Arizona's budget, right? And is a big supporter of football. And when you're supporting you're the athletic director who's supporting football at a basketball school, it can get a little precarious. And I think that's what happened. So I'm not surprised her name is being linked to other jobs. The question with Michigan, though, is they typically hire Michigan men, as Bo Schembechler would say, right? Oh, yeah. So the question is whether they would hire an alumnus to replace Ward Manuel or go outside the family. You know, we saw USC for decades with only it's Mike Garrett, it's Pat Hayden, it's all those guys, right? Yeah. When was Keyshawn going to take over? Michigan is kind of the same thing. And so the big question, not only for Reed-Francois, but a lot of ADs that would love that job, it's a prime job,
sure,
is whether they're going to go outside the family. And I don't know if they will or not. One of Michigan's huge problems is that they don't have a permanent president, right? They're on their They're on their fourth president in 5 years.
Wow.
And that has a huge trickle down impact on athletic director, football coach, basketball coach, everything. So we'll see. I would, you know, would I give her a chance to get the job? If I knew that Michigan was going to hire a non-alumnus, then yeah, I'd give her a chance. But I don't know that they'll go outside the family.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insights. Good to see you back in the saddle again, John. Thanks.
Same here, Brad. Thank you.
And we're back with more after this timeout.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Ortho Arizona Recruiting Roundup. I'm Claudia Collins alongside Cody Cameron. Yet again, I know it's been a while since we've seen you, which unfortunately, or very fortunately, I should say, that just means we have a lot of ground to cover because so much happens in these summer months in terms of commitment. We have three programs we want to highlight today, all kind of with Arizona ties that have just dominated recruiting in our state. So let's start over with Idaho. Who do we have there, Cody?
Well, they came in and just owned the state of Arizona. And it's the way they did it, Claudia, because during the eval period, where all these colleges came down to the state of Arizona and all of our teams and districts had the showcases, right? We went to so many of them. Who did we always see there? It was the University of Idaho, and their head football coach, Coach Ford, has his like Arizona on the map. And he took half of his staff and said, hey, we are booking flights to Sky Harbor and we are going into this state and we're taking some of the top talent. And to me, not only is that so impressive to do as just an out-of-state FCS program, but who's in their backyard? Another big Sky school in NAU. They are competing against an in-state school like NAU for the same player, and they are landing these kids. And the question is, how did they do it? Well, Coach Ford, he's one of the best recruiters, and he's recruited the state of Arizona tremendously well. He was at Idaho previously as an assistant. Then he was at Oregon State, also on that staff. And he did a great job recruiting Arizona like that. The players they landed, Claudia, they are incredible talents. Kids that probably would be P4 talent about 5-6 years ago. But I look at like Damari Bryant. He's one of the top running backs in the state coming out of Millennium. You have Joe Haney, a defensive end, outside linebacker from Mesa. And Leonidas Toa Atu. Look at that. Nailed that last name on the first try there. He's a tremendous player on that defensive end and rusher position. So what does that mean? It means Idaho's got about almost double-digit commitments from the state of Arizona. Incredible players, but the coaching staff came in, they showed up to these players and then brought them on campus for official visits and locked them down. That is a great job by the University of Idaho staff.
You know, one thing I want to bring up, the last time we actually got to come on and do a live recruiting roundup was for breaking news, right? When we were talking about the NCAA's new rules. How do you kind of see, maybe we haven't told you what the following two programs will be, so we'll tease it, but how do you see these as potential programs for guys to like get in and hopefully play right away? Because that's what we're encouraging, right?
That's a great, great question, Claudia, because yes, some of these programs like Idaho, right? These coaching staffs are going, hey, you can get on the field, you play right away, and maybe you get that P4 opportunity. We're seeing all the time with this cycle, these All-Americans at the FCS level, especially the Big Sky Conference, is one of the best conferences in the entire country. Those teams consistently compete against FBS talent. Heck, Idaho almost beat FBS teams last year. They're going, hey, play here, and you can maybe get an opportunity there. Same thing with the coaching staff. Hey, if they really perform well there, they're going to be the next coaches getting plucked by these Power Four programs. Happens every single year. That's a tremendous step.
All right. Another program that's done a fabulous job in our state is Nevada, which we were kind of just saying before recording. They're our neighbors. So like, of course, They're coming to Arizona. We've got tons of talent. Keep them coming.
Yeah, the Wolfpack came in here, and you said it. They absolutely dominated. And I was talking to Connor Strand, who's a linebacker for Hamilton. I was talking about this team camp a couple weeks ago, and I said, okay, tell me about the official visit. There's so many Arizona kids that are really good football players. Same thing that probably would be Power Four kids a couple years ago. They're all committing to Nevada. He goes, well, Cody, they take us around campus, and then you kind of go up Mount Rose Pass up there, which is just beautiful in the Sierra Nevadas. And they dip right into Lake Tahoe. And they're talking about what they did on the troops. And for any of you guys who've seen Lake Tahoe, especially in the summer, and especially when you're looking at your weather app, and it says 115 in Arizona, That's a pretty good marketing tool right there. And but same thing. I think the program did a great job of targeting what they wanted. They having guys like Connor Strand, who just fits the frame, Jace Wilson, running back from Chaparral, who's a tremendous talent. Trey Kennard the third, the Basha corner who kind of does it all. Caleb Jordan, defensive end from there as well. They targeted exactly what they wanted and they went out here and got it. They did a great job of being present during that eval period in all the camps and saying, hey, we want you, come to our campus for an official visit. And these kids fell in love with that place.
All right, last and absolutely not least, we've got the University of Washington, a program that, for obvious reasons, has done an excellent job recruiting people in our state. And we've got players there already, which also helps kind of snowball that recruitment here. But UW just keeps it going.
Yeah, they come into the state with full confidence. This is what I saw from Washington this year, Claudia. They came in here and said, we don't care about U of A. We do not care about the ASU staff. We're coming in and getting the top players. And guess what? They proved it. I mean, that's really what they did. And I love the segue that you just said because starting quarterback, Damon Williams, one of the best players ever in Arizona high school football history. On the defensive end, Alex McLaughlin, who's out there, the players that are going to get their names called in next year's NFL draft. So they're telling these players, hey, guess what? Come to UW. We're a top program in the country. The school is beautiful. We sit there right on the riverbank. Our facilities are amazing. And guess what? You get to escape that Arizona weather and you come to a program where you're going to play. We're going to develop you and you get an NFL pick. And that is not to say that can't happen at U of A and ASU, but I think in some of these situations, when you look at Jed Fish's staff and you look at Scotty Graham, who's a running backs coach who just kicks butt on the recruiting trail down here, I think it's simple. It goes, some of these kids in Arizona, they just want to leave. That happens all the time. So it's no knock on U of A and ASU. They do a tremendous job recruiting too. Sometimes Arizona kids just want to leave. When you head to a place like University of Washington, you don't want to leave that place. You know, it's so beautiful. So that's why.
Yeah, and just in defense of ASU and U of A, like it goes the other way too. Like tons of recruits from other states are dying to come to
Yes.
Arizona because
Yes.
we've got the, people from the Midwest are like, give me 110 degrees. I don't care. I've been in
Yes.
negative 20. So it's just kind of going to be that way no matter what you look at.
100%. And the talent there too, like Dante Tyson Jr., Zarek Sidney, Blake Roscoff, Jeremy Adonju. I mean, these are top kids in our recruiting class and the recruiting cycle in the state. But I was talking to the punter, Castiles, Nolan Balke. He went on an official visit. He committed there. And Nolan just, Claudia, this kid's incredible. But he's talking about just Jed Fish and the staff and the way they love the players. But also, guess what was happening right after his official visit? A World Cup match where Jed Fish had a box with the coaching staff sitting right there at the stadium. I mean, those are so cool. And talking to all those players, Ty Kennedy, who's at Mountain View, who just recently verbally committed there, they all say the same thing. We're on that campus. It's a place that we don't want to leave. If that's our home the next 3, 4, 5 years, we're so happy to not just be an athlete there, but be a student there. That staff does a great job of making them feel at home.
Well, because at the end of the day, being an athlete and a student there really just means you have your life there and you've got to go where you can picture your entire life. So I guess that's inadvertently the message of this recruiting roundup segment. That's all we've got for you, though, this week. For more recruiting news, you can head to sports360az.com.